Today's daf is Pei Dalit. We were holding in the middle of the sugya in which Rav at Paskin, like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who said that on some matra on Mashikatub Torah to try to be misalik yourself and to have no claims for the Yerusha of your wife, he says that doesn't help. Rav Paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but he said, but not for the same reason. Paskin like him, but his reasoning is wrong. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that the reason is that matra on Mashikatub Torah to know about tell, I disagree. So the Gemara was wondering yesterday, what does he disagree about? He can't be disagreeing about the fact that a matneh mashikatuv b'Torah is tna'o kayam, he holds, because Rav himself ends up paskin elsewhere in the case of ona'ah, that matneh mashikatuv b'Torah, tna'o actually is batel, and yesho alav ona'ah. So therefore, he could not be saying that I disagree with his reasoning about matneh mashikatuv b'Torah. Therefore, we were wondering what he could possibly have meant. And we're holding now on Pei Dalit on the fourth line, and we're suggesting maybe he meant as follows. Hello. Alachak Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, maybe it's just the opposite. I agree with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in terms of what he said, namely that Hamat Ne'a Mashikatub HaTorah Tzna'o Batel. But I don't agree with his reasoning. Lav Mita'amei, I say that in this case, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds that because he made it tonight, Meta Yirashena, the Baal, despite his saying, I will have no legal claims against your property, will inherit it, where Rav himself holds that Meta lo yirashena. I hold that, in fact, he would not be, because I hold Yerushata Baal as the Rabbanan. Therefore, it's not a matneh mashikatuv b'Torah. Yeah, but that's backwards. That's, you're paskening like his reasoning, but not like his halacha. You said that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but not for his reason. And here you're saying, well, I like his reason, I just don't like his halacha. So haimi taimei v'lav kiyochatehu. It's the opposite. So that's ridiculous. I can't hear what it means. So haimi taimei v'lav kiyochatehu. Okay, let's try this approach. Maybe the thing is like this. Halacha Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, bottom line is he's right in saying that if the woman dies, the husband will inherit her, despite the fact that he said the dinu dvarim ainli. Okay? But not for the reason that Rav Gamliel says. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, the Rav Shimon Gamliel said that the reason that it's batel is because the Yerushata Baal is the Oraita, and therefore Tna'o batel, because Amat Ne'am Mashikatu Batarat's batel. But his implications were that in a case where it would have been Derabbanan, for instance, says Rashi, the case in the Mishnah where he says, I will not have any claims against your payrot, that over there, the Tna'o is Kayam, whereas Rav himself says, that I disagree with. Because in fact, afilu b'derabanan tna'o batel. Actually, the tna'i would be batel even in a derabanan. Maybe that's what he meant, v'lo mitaimei. Says, no, that doesn't make sense either. Because there you're agreeing with his reasoning, you're saying he's right. He's right in halacha that the baal is yerush, he's right for the reason that amat namashikatu b'torah, but he's not right in an implication of the reason which I would take even further. I mean, that's not called yuchat v'lo mitaimei. That's called kitaimei, uche ochate, and Rav is coming to add. I would say even more, Rav Mosifu. You never use the language Hilkata Velomi Taime where you're agreeing with his reasoning and just adding to it. So that doesn't make sense either. By the way, Tosfos does not like Rashi's usage of the Mishnah as an example of where Midrabbanan and Rav would have said also to the Obatel. Because then it's running against every man Yomar in the Mishnah. Every time in the Mishnah agreed that you can say, I have no claim against your payroll. How could you say that Rav would disagree with the Mishnah? Those learns that Rav is talking about in general under Rabbanan, but certainly not in that particular case. And he explains because in that case it's not Shechichi, and therefore we didn't make the Tna'o Batel over there. Rich, you're going to fall asleep with that heavy fleece. Okay. I mean, it's good looking and everything, and it's polo, I understand.
I had about an hour ago.
And it's wearing its lead, it's wearing its label on its chest, you know, but... good. I like the vest anyway. It's really good. Yeah. I like that little one there. Okay, so that doesn't work either. So what was it then? Must be like this. Halacha Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that he made the Yerushana, but not because of the fact that matneh mashikatuv b'Torah is tna'o batel, but rather, Hilo Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he thinks the reason is because Yerushata Baal is Dioraita, and since it's Dioraita, matneh mashikatuv b'Torah, tna'o batel. I disagree with his reason because I hold Yerushata Baal is only Drabona. The reason that in this case to know batel is because Chachamim Asuk Chizuk Divrayan Kishal Torah. So that the Rabbanan over here were Metakeni Rushata Baal, to be as strong as a Dioraita Yerusha. And that's what it means. Oh yeah? That doesn't what it means here. You know, you say, what, Rabot Yushat Abal the Rabbana? That's not true. What about the Mishnah? What's not? Rabbi Yochanan Membroka Omer, Hayoresha Tishto Yarzir Livnei Mishpacha. Someone who has inherited his wife, when Yovel comes around, he should return the property to the family, V'enachela Hen Min Hadamin. And he should deduct to them from the money that they're going to be paying him, which doesn't make any sense. He should deduct the kever that he would have, we'll see later on, it means a kever, but he should deduct the money, meaning he should give them a good price. That's what we think it means right now. Give them a good price, which of course doesn't make any sense. If you're giving it back in Yovel, you're not getting any price. What is this supposed to mean, says the Gemara? Ravinova, Mikasov, what in the world is he talking about? Ikasov Yerushata Baal Diraita. Does Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka hold that the Yerusha of the Baal is his Minatayra? So you don't give back a Yerusha in Yovel, so Rayavzir. If we're talking about Yerushata Baal Dirabonan, so then, if you're giving it back to Yovel, then there's no money that changes hands. Which money are you talking about? Damin? Maya Vidatayu? You hold it's like a chov and not like a Yerusha. You hold it's like a purchase, not like a Yerusha. You purchased the wife, the Rabbanan allowed you to purchase her property, now in Yovel you give it back. So why are they paying? And Rav, and here's our problem. Rav explained Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka like this. That actually Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka holds Yerushata Baal's Dioraita. And what it's talking about over here is that he inherited the family's burial plot from his wife. That's what it's talking about. So over there you have to give it back to them, but they have to pay him. So that you give it back in Yovel Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. Something that has a unique attachment, and it's viewed as an insult to the family that other people are using their burial plot, and the people that were meant to be buried here are not going to be buried in the family plot. That's a Pagam to the family. So because of that, Omer Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said in Lishkot Dami, that he should be willing to accept what they pay for it, and Lahada, and it goes back in Yovel. So why does it say, why do I have to give it to them cheaply? I don't understand. I'm doing them a favor, I'm letting them buy it back. I don't have to give it cheap. No, it means he should deduct from the plot the kever ishto. He was responsible anyway to get a kever for his wife. So that means that if she was buried in the family plot, so that he would have had to pay for that anyway, wherever he would have buried her. So that he should deduct, and the rest of the kvorim, that they have to pay him for. And this is Kidatanya, Hamocher Kivro, somebody who sells his own burial place, or the Derech Kivro, they have special roads approaching the Beit HaKvarot, or Ma'amado, or Makom Espedo, so they would have a place where they would make a Ma'amad, when they would do, where they would speak about the maid, or they would say Kaddish, or Makom Bevespet. And it's all a family thing. They take the guy and bury him in his own plot, and they pay back the guy who bought it. So this was a takon that was made by Rabban Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. But meanwhile, what do we see? That Rav chooses Yerusha Tabal Dioraita to explain the Mishnah. So apparently he held Yerusha Tabal as Dioraita. And now we're saying that the reason that he paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but lo mitamei, is because Rav Shimon Gamliel held it's the Oraita, but he, Rav, held that it's the Rabbanan. How do you explain that? No, Rav himself holds that it is the Rabbanan. What Rav was doing over here was explaining the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. It doesn't mean he agrees with it. So Rav, letaimi the Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka kamar. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka holds it's the Oraita, obviously it would be no chazor in Yevel. He's just explaining Yeshita, what it's talking about. I'm out of kever. V'lei lo sviralei. He himself, however, does not hold it. Now the question that Tosis says, if we're talking about a kever, so what does that have to do with Yovel? It's because of the Gamish Bach, it's irrelevant if it's in Yovel or any other time. So Tosis explains it's only in Yovel when everybody is now restored to their original property, then it becomes clear that somebody else got this plot through his wife. That's the Gamish Bach. But so there, it's not a Gamish Bach. People don't work out who owns what. It's in Yovel, everybody's paying attention to who owns what. It's owned by all the members or whoever owns the property. A family plot is not owned by nobody. It's owned by family. About it. Yeah, you make the money, you still get the plot.
It'd be a very cute historical note. Rav Shimon Gamliel's son, Rav Yudanasi, is the example of a family plot in Eretz Yisrael, a place for Maimon, a place in Shimon Kivro, and that's a family plot. I don't know if he himself was buried there, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Thank you.
Beit Sharim.
Yeah.
As I say, he himself wasn't.
That's
his grandfather. Okay. Now, the guy dies, leaving heirs, obviously. Nobody can die without heirs, unless it's a ger. And he also leaves a wife who needs to collect the ketuvah, but he also leaves debts. And he is owed money, or he's owed money for a loan. So in other words, Hayalo Pikadon, he had put something or some cash in somebody's hand to keep for him, safekeeping. O Milva, where he had a loan that he had made to somebody, Biadachirim. So now that needs collecting, right? Now let's take a look at the situation. Normally, when Yorshim inherit chattel, things that are movable property, nobody can collect from them at all. Right? You don't, because the metatalim of an individual are not now mechuyev, the Yorshim not mechuyev, except as a chiyev, for a moral chiyev to pay off debts. In general, when somebody wants to collect money from Yorshim, even when he's collecting, he can only collect with a shvua. You can't take money that is due to Yorshim without a shvua. And this is Yorshim, even if they're not ketanim. Doesn't mean ketanim. That is because since a person who inherits does not know the full story of what happened, somebody's going to come and collect, shows a shtar. He doesn't know maybe his father paid off the shtar and the shtar was only there because he still owed him another 10 cents for the writing of the shtar. God only knows what the story was. So Rabbanu made a takana. You want to collect from Yorshim, you must swear. Lamaisa, later on in the days of the Geinim, where the situation was that people didn't generally have property, there were all the gezeiros against owning property and so on, they made a takana that nowadays we do collect, even from metaltalim, just like there was a takana for a ketuvah to be collected from metaltalim. So the situation is like this. The moment that the Yorshim are going to collect this money, it now is out of the hands of the Balchov. Big problem. If he gets to the money before the Yorshim do, he gets his money back. Okay. If you hold of Rabbi Meir, the woman would be able to be collecting from the Talmud. And this Mishnah is assuming that she is able to collect from the Talmud. So now the Yorshim have not as yet gotten back the Pikadon that was in somebody else's hand, and they did not yet collect the loan that was due the father. So what happens in this case? Rabbi Tarfon says, you know, if they're trying to collect, then yinatnu lekoshel shebehem. What we should do is we should pay attention to the one who is weakest in his position. We'll see what that means. And help him out. Because this is really a tough situation. Once we're going to go ahead and give it to the Yorshim, now the Balko is not going to be able to collect. Right? So therefore we're trying to help him out. So what we do is go into court, and let the court collect the loan or collect the pikadon and give it over either to the Balchov or the ketuvah. Rabbi Akiva says, that's ridiculous. Ein merachamim bedin. To help people out is very laudable, but not in court. You don't help people out. So if you forget about that. Ela yinatnu liyorshim. The fact is, there's only one place where this can go. And it won't even help for the court to be tefisit for them, for a very simple reason. Anybody who wants to collect from Yorshim, even where it's collectible, has to take a shvua. Before you take a shvua, you don't have a claim. You can't possibly be tofes without a claim. Therefore, the only one that has it automatically is the Yorshim, because there are no claims against it. And therefore, it's considered to be the actual property of the Yorshim. Shukulam tzirchim shvua. Anybody who wants to be nifra from nifse yatomim requires a shvua. And until such time, There's no claim. Ve'ena Yorshim tzrichim shvua, and therefore it's theirs. Now suppose niach perot lushin min akarka. Now suppose I can get this as a balchov without going to court. I know that this guy owns perot that perhaps are just lying around when he was about to take them to market and he dropped dead. I am very worried about my ability to collect, so I run over and I grab them. Because he owes me money. So in that case, what's the halacha? Kol hakodem bahem zachabe. Whoever gets there first is the one who indeed was tofes. So if the Yorshim got there first, then it's a big problem. We're not going to be able to collect from them, because once Yorshim and Metaltalim, they can't be Meshubad Labal Chov. But if the woman gets it first, she collected her ketuvah. If the Baal Chov gets it first, he collected his chov. So then everything would be nice. In other words, Rabbi Tarfon here is saying that the halacha is that tvisa helps after the death of the person that owed you the money, and you don't have to be tofes michayim. And therefore, kol hakodem zachta isha. If the woman now had collected more than her ketuvah, what do we do with the leftovers? Or the Baal Chov had collected more than chovo, what do we do with the leftovers? Hamotar, the leftovers, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, I see that 7:30 was not a good time.
No,
there's very few people made it.
My wife says, what's
wrong,
Shira?
Because there was function that here. Yeah. Well, but there was only one person here at 7:30, and that, to me, is an indication that we should not do this again.
Okay.
So, I mean, unless there were particular circumstances, the elegant explanation is that 7:30 is just thoroughly ridiculous. So what do we do now when we have leftovers of the ketuvah? She collected too much money. We have leftovers of the Baal Chov. He collected too much money. So again, Rabbi Tarfon says, look, if we already have it collected, so then you not know the Koshel Shaban. Take a look at who needs our help the most and give it to them. We'll see who that means. Rabbi Akiva again says, Ein merachamim batin, which is weird, because according to Rabbi Akiva, there wasn't even a right to be typhus in the first place. Remember, Rabbi Akiva's reasoning was that since you can't collect without a shvua, you don't have a claim. So there's no din of tvisa without a claim. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva would hold, Ein tvisa liachar mita. So why is he discussing the leftovers? This the Gemara is going to discuss. I see you never read the Hanukkah book.
I don't remember this quote. It's terrible. I guess I never read it.
Well, you've got 2 days.
Yeah, get to work. My God. My God. The whole chapter. Ella yinat nun yoshim. Instead, the money is given to the yoshim. Shekulam tzrichim shvu'ah, v'ein al yoshim tzrichim shvu'ah. Says the Gemara, what's the point of mentioning at the beginning of the Mishnah two cases? Pikadon or milva? I mean, it's basically the same situation, isn't it? So, lama lelomitne milva, lama lelomitne pikadon. Let's say that the Batana had only mentioned the milva. Maybe the reason that Rabbi Tarfon said that in that case we would go ahead and we would say that it doesn't belong to the Yorshin yet is because a milva is lo tza'ad nitna. So there's no money there that a pikadon is my thing that I gave to somebody to hold for me. Over there it's extant. A milva is by definition not extant, even if it is extant. Because I give him the money that's no longer my money, I'm telling him, go use the money for whatever you want, pay me back on the money. So over there I understand that the Yorshim have not collected yet, so they don't own this money. Since they don't own this money, says Rabbi Tarfon, let the court intervene, collect the money, and give it to whoever's in the best position. But a pikadon, the pikadon ite b'ene, it's there. I mean, it's in a pawn shop. So it's right there. Ema moidele le Rabbi Akiva. Maybe in that case, indeed, he would be moidele to Rabbi Akiva that the Yorshim already own this and I don't have a claim against it. The itanaha, let's say, would say the other way around. It would say the din of the pikadon. I would say that maybe that's why Rabbi Akiva says that since it's extant, therefore the Yorshim have a already collection on it. Avu b'hakim amar Rabbi Tarfon. Maybe when it comes to a milva which doesn't exist, the halacha would be like Rabbi Tarfon, and therefore Bezdin could intervene and give it to the koshel. Therefore it's tzricha. Now, when Rabbi Tarfon said the koshel, who is the koshel? Myla koshel. Who exactly is he referring to? Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina Omer, l'koshel sheberaya. If you have a number of different people, the one who's got the weakest ra'aya, meaning his shtar is later, so other people are going to be able to collect from property that belonged to the Baal Chov at the time, that belonged to the borrower who is now deceased, and can be collected against other property that he owns from other lekuchot. This poor guy is the last one in line, and he's not going to be able to collect. So the koshel is the guy that you can help out to collect his money, where other people can collect the money in a way that will take up the court, but they'll be able to collect. Rabbi Yochanan there, by definition, koshel is ktuvat isha. Ktuvat isha, because a woman is not generally in a position to be running around the courts and title companies and finding out about properties. She's not that safe in that world. And therefore, she's in a weaker position. Why would we want to give it to the Koshel? Mishum Chinah. The reason would be because we want men to be attractive to women. And in order to make men attractive to women, they have to feel that they're going to be able to collect their ketuvah without problems. As we've seen in the original cases before we had the takonos of Shimon ben Shetach, they were getting old and they weren't getting married because the women were not feeling very secure. So therefore we want to provide them with security. This is how Rashi learns all over that. Chinah, could you stop yawning, please, if you come in here? Thank you. Mishum Chinah is in terms of the men being attracted. According to Tesis, actually it's the Oruf, Mishum Chinah is that the women should be attracted. So what we want to do over here is to make the women rich so that they shall be, that's one approach. She can be remarried if we'll make it easy for her. Others learn because, since it's the Oruf's approach, if she knows that she's investing when she's taking care of her husband, and not being taken advantage of, so then she will take more better care of her husband. If she takes better care of her husband, well then of course women will be more attractive because marriage will get a good reputation instead of the terrible reputation it has today, which men take care of the women. So that's how he understands Chinah, the opposite way. But
that's right. Really, no one.
Okay, so this is a machlokes tanoi, kitanoi. Rabbi Binyamin Omer. Rabbi Binyamin Omer lekoshel shebaraya v'hu kasher. Rabbi Binyamin says the best thing, the correct thing, the kosher thing to do is to give it to the person who is in the weakest position in terms of his ability to collect. Rabbi Elazar Omer lektuvati sham mishum chinah.
The Russian show is very animal-like. Rather than how the male tries to make himself attractive to the female.
Okay, says the Gemara, the Mishnah that says, Hiniach Perot Lushin. So over there we have Rabbi Tarfon talking about the Balchov collecting, the woman collecting, and there being leftovers. And then there's a Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, what to do with the leftovers? Says the Gemara, what does it have to do with leftovers? Rabbi Akiva, my Aryeh Motar. According to Rabbi Akiva, there should be no tvisa at all. So Kulunami the Yorshin Havu. Why doesn't the whole thing go to the Yorshin? Because according to him, unless you were already Nishba, which is obviously impossible here, there's no claim. If there's no claim, then the property belongs to the Yorshin. So how can you be taking it away from him at all? He disagrees with the original idea that Kol HaKedem Zoch. So the Gemara Yochinami. Of course, that's true. It's just, I did Yomar Rabbi Akiva, Motar Tana Yunami Motar. Rabbi Tarfon began his discussion with the Motar. So Rabbi Akiva came in and responded to the same thing that Rabbi Tarfon had spoken about. But he, Rabbi Akiva personally, doesn't hold that there is a Motar because there's no Tvisa for Rabbi Akiva. Question is, according to Rabbi Akiva, Tvisa lo ma'anya klal? Are we saying that there's no Tvisa according to Rabbi Akiva? There's no Tvisa in this particular case. According to Rashi, this is just a question that we have. You're telling me that there's no Tvisa. But is there no situation where there's no tvisa? Tosis learns it's an actual kasha. Because we just finished learning in the Mishnah about the Shomeret Yavam that dies, that over there was a din of tvisa. It says over there, if she came and she took the mitzvah. Is that Shalok Rabbi Akiva, that Mishnah? That's what the Gemara was asking. But in any event, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, there is. Of course there is tvisa, even if you go to Rabbi Akiva. Because on the surface, you would think, okay, if there's ever a case of Yorshim, then a tvisa is not going to be helpful, and Besdin will collect the property, give it back to Yorshim. Says the Gemara, no, because Rav Nachman explained, if the original tvisa had been done Michayim, we're not even going to take it away from him. So that the Yorshim don't have a claim against someone who was tofis Michayim. Now, let me ask you something, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon knows that tvisa helps. Where exactly were the things that you were tofis? We were talking about a case of Perot Lushim. Where were these Perot Lushim? Were they in Rishut HaRabim? Were they in some private property? The Manchei Hecha. Rav Shmuel Damit Arvayu, Vehu Shetzvurim Umunachim Rishut HaRabim. Avo Besimta Lo, Rabbi Yochan Reshulakish Damit Arvayu, Afilu Besimta. So there's a machlokus like this. We know that Rishut HaRabim itself is a place in which you cannot make Kinyanim of Mishiyaka. So it belongs to everybody equally. To say, therefore, that where the guy died, and these parents were in a place where everybody's yad is equal, that there Rabbi Tarfon would say that, okay, I understand that the Yorshim haven't yet gotten it, because everybody's equal. If I go ahead and I'm Tefis, and I get it before the Yorshim. However, say Rav and Shmuel, if it's in a Simta, A simta is basically a little area off of the Rishut HaRabim, which is left there for people to make deals. So in other words, you want a little bit of a quiet spot to be able to sit down and talk to people. It's like a cafe off of the Rishut HaRabim. You can sit there, and that is considered to be a Rishus in which Kinyanim can be made, and in which if the Yarshim would have had Peirot there from their father, the moment that he died, Rabbi Tarfon would have also had to agree that it's in Rishut of the Yarshim. So old Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish say, Yarshim are not considered to be in possession until such time as they actually take possession. In which case, even now that the Peirot are in a Simta, the halacha is that you can go ahead and be Tofes. Don't dainik Rabbi Tarfon, v'hadre Rish Lakish l'uv d'minayim. Rabbi Tarfon's psak was followed by Dayanim, and they went ahead and they allowed somebody to be Tefes, a Balchov, from against the Yarshim's claim. Reish Lakish heard about it, and he insisted that the judges reverse the ruling, and that the money be taken away from the individuals that he was Mizaka, the Balchov, and given to the Yarshim. Well, Rabbi Yochanan, my God, I mean, you know, Asita Keshel Torah, what are you saying over here? That because Rabbi Akiva argues, you're making it as if like it's a halacha l'mashe misina? Could it be that Rabbi Yochanan who's saying asito kishol Torah, Torah bedvar mishnah is enoi chayzer, and only a Torah and halacha l'mashe misina is chayzer? That's why he's saying asito kishol Torah. So could it be leimah over kamitzlik the mar sava Torah bedvar mishnah chozer, mar sava Torah bedvar mishnah enoi chozer? So maybe it's really he's finding that this is only a Torah bedvar mishnah. It isn't a teya in a diaraisa, and a lachal mashmi sinai, and therefore shouldn't be chazer. No, of course not. Kuli hama tovid var mishnah chazer. The question is whether this is a tovid var mishnah. Because what did he do essentially? He passed in like Rabbi Tarfon against Rabbi Akiva, right? But Rabbi Tarfon, that violates the klal that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva michaveiro, and therefore it's a tovid var mishnah. So what's Rabbi Yochanan bothered about? Here's what he's bothered about. They're arguing, Mar Sovar, Halachach, Rabbi Akiva, Michavero, but Lomi Rabo. And since Rabbi Akiva had learned things from Rabbi Tarfon, so he was considered to be Rabo. And that's not called, included in the Klal, Halachach, Rabbi Akiva. And therefore he's saying, what? So you pass like Rabbi Akiva, therefore it's Halachach, Rabbi Shmi Sinai. It's a Lashon Guzma. But he would have agreed that if it were a Mishnah, it would also have been Chayzer. Mar Sovar, Halachach, Lomi Rabo. Reish Lakish, who held that it's Chayzer, and the judges have to reverse the ruling, he paskens that the word Chaveiro, it means from an individual who argues, no matter who that individual is. Or maybe it's like this. Ibaitem kuleyama alachak Rabbi Akiva Chaveiro velo mi Rabo. The question is whether Rabbi Tarfon is considered to be Rabo, or he's considered to be like Rabo Chaver, in which case is included in Chaveiro. Maybe that's the machlokas. Mar sav Rabbi Tarfon Rabo Have, umar sav Chaveiro Have. Or maybe it's another machlokas. The question is whether the rule that halacha Rabbi Akiva is halacha Rabbi Akiva or matin Rabbi Akiva. If it's matin Rabbi Akiva, it means that we tend to pasken like Rabbi Akiva, which creates a normative assumption of a halacha, but it would mean you don't change it. So if somebody went ahead and pasken against it, okay, then it's not a violation of the ruling because it was only matin kama, not halacha kama. In which case, Rabbi Yochanan was saying, I don't understand what it's some kind of local Moshe Sinai. It may be that it's true, but certainly it's not supposed to be Chayzer. Now, crazy to Rabbi Yochanan, Tfofus Pora Diatme Besimta. Rabbi Yochanan had a relative who went ahead and was Tofes, a collection of money due from Yatomim that was in a Simta. Now, remember that Rabbi Yochanan himself held that you can collect, indeed, Afilu Besimta, Rabbi Tarfon says. So, Otulakami de Rabbi Yochanan, they come to Rabbi Yochanan, and he says to him, well, nice thing, Shapir Tafastua, you did a good thing, that you were Tofes, you can keep the money. Now, as Tosis points out, this doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who was agreeing, we just said, that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Tarfon. He just said that it's not right to be Mazer, either because it's not called Tovet Var Mishnah, because Chaver, or what? Any of the terutzim that we had. But he certainly held that Reish Lakish was right in the psak. He was just wrong in insisting that we should return it. So what is he telling the guy? Good. It's good that you did it. What do you mean it's good? It's not good. So the Tosha says maybe Acher Tvisa is considered to be a B'diavad, which is a little bit weird. I don't know why he's talking to the person. Why is it weird? There's some Rishonim who say that it's talking about that they had already been tofes the para and served it. Then it's pretty bitty avad. Okay, but in any event, the Paskins, it's a nice idea.
They took a cow for a debt.
Took
a cow the Antonim for a debt.
That's correct.
And served.
And who served? The guys who took the cow ate it up. Apparently.
Yes, all by themselves. And they may have served it as Shever Prochus. In any event, he said it's a nice idea. So what happened?
Actions are now over unless anything the court would do now would be an intervention, right?
Yeah.
So you don't intervene unless you have to then also.
But don't say you did a good job at this point. That does the problem. Anyway, so also the Kaime Duresh Lakish. So they come to Resh Lakish. Why they come to Resh Lakish? Because Yochanan obviously couldn't pass it because it was his relative. So he went to Resh Lakish. He said, no, so you have to give it back. Zila Lahadr. Also, Kami Rabbi Yochanan.
We'll go back.
What can I do? Maya says, Shekinegdi Chalukalai. I mean, Resh Lakish is certainly able to argue on me. I have something I could do about this.
So also, Kami the first time wasn't with
him? No, they were discussing it. Otherwise, how can you go to see?
Yeah.
I mean, before she explained it, that's it. Ahu Bakra. Again, you've been drinking too much tea with caffeine. Poor debt. Debt will be very sad at remaining uncollected. Ahu Bakra, they asked me, the Topsy Turmine. There was. What is not our concern? What can we do? There's no money to pay the debt. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Pay a guy a debt where it's not due? We can't take it from the Yorshim. They're not responsible for this debt. No property. Now, there was a certain Bakra. A Bakra is somebody who is in charge of the Bakar. He's like a shepherd, but obviously there's no sheep. Being a cowboy. So there was a Bakra of Yetomim, and somebody went ahead and grabbed an ox from his yard. From the Shomer's yard for a debt that was due to the person who grabbed it. So the Balchov said, I grabbed it before the guy had died. It was Tvisa Michaim, and Tvisa Michaim helps even according to Rabbi Akiva. Whereas the Bakra Amar, no, it's not true. He heard the guy died, and then he came and he took it, and it's not a good Tvisa. Ultimately, to Reb Nachman. So Reb Nachman asked the Bakra, Itlach Sahari the Tafsid, do you have any witnesses that this guy grabbed this shor from your yard? Omar Leilav. I don't have any witnesses, but he's admitting it. So that's irrelevant. He could have said that I bought it. Omar Leilav, the Yochel, the Memel, Kuachu Biyadi. So since he has a Migo, because it's in his property, it's his rishus, his possession. So Yochel, Namel, the Memel, Mikhayim, Tafsid, Oleg. We have to believe him because he's claiming on the basis of a Migo, that he simply could have kept the animal by saying, I bought the animal. Who said it's yours? I don't know what you're talking about. How's this animal yours?
But he saw him. The cowboy Who? Saw him. Take
Fine. It. So, thank you, cowboy. It's my word against yours. I have amigo. So, we believe you. Why should we believe the cowboy? The owner is Shlokish, Esra Shlokish. But, well, moment. The problem is that Goda wrote, Einlem Chazakah. Animals that are kept in pens and that go from place to place and are left out to graze, there's no presumptive possession on. Because they could have just wandered into your house. What are you going to say?
So
we're going to allow anybody to say, oh, I bought this. The possession doesn't prove a darn thing. If this is something that wanders into your yard, what's it going to show that you possess it? It's not possession.
Just passing through. But that's a daka. He took it ashore, right?
Oh, answers the Gemara, of course, as David says. Shainei Tura, Shvarim are different. Because Shvarim are not left to wander around. It's Mesira L'ro'ah. It's actually Machlokas Rishonim, whether that means because this shor had been given to a roya, or whether there's a general ruling about shvarim, which I'm most learned.
So the shomer is responsible.
Can I have some of that tea? He's getting more and more aggressive, more and more awake by the day. Who has to give back the money? We're not discussing. We'll discuss that later on about what happens when shomerim fail in their mission. The Venesia tofus amso de yasmi misit simta. Now the Venesia were generally pretty tough people. They went ahead and were tofes an eved, in this case an ama, which raises the whole problem whether the eved has the din of metaltel or has the din of karkos, which doesn't say it's problematic because it seems pretty clear from over here that it, against the way we generally assume that it's like karka. But anyway, let's assume it's the same as a para. So he went ahead and was tofes an ama. an Oma in a Simta. Yossi Rabbi Avu, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. So here Rabbi Avu, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka were sitting in court. And Rabbi Abba was an observer. Yossi Rabbi Abba Gabayu. They come to court and they say, well, if you were Tofisit, Shaper Tafsu. That's good. If you were Tofisit, it's okay. It's a valid visa. So then Rabbi Abba says to them, well, just because these guys are gangsters, you have to pass them like them. You know perfectly well that that's not the right Allah. What? So you're going being machnif to them, a bunch of phonies you are. To tell them, we know that there were Dayanim like you, that had passed him like Rabbi Tarfon, that Tvisa helps. Not to mention, you're even allowing Tvisa in a Simta. So you're taking the most chobertic view of allowing the Tvisa. And Rish Lakish went ahead, and he was Adri Rish Lakish of the Minayu. Disgusting. Yemar Bar Chashu, Avi Baspes, Uzebehu Gavra. Now, this fellow, Yemar Bar Chashu, was owed money by a gentleman who died. He had put all his money into a sailboat.
Literally. He was hoarding it in a sailboat.
He bought a sailboat. So all he had was a sailboat. So Omar Leila Shluchi, Yemar Bar Chashu, sends a guy out to grab the boat. Zil Tafsun Yalam, bring it to me so I can collect my debt out of his sailboat. Azab Tafsar. So he goes ahead and he grabs the boat. And Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Rav Rabbi Yeshua, meet this guy. And they say, what the heck are you doing with that guy's boat? So I'm being Tofisit. You can't be Tofisit, they said. The halacha is, as Rabbi Yochanan said, that a tofes the balchov b'makom shechav la'acherim lo kana. You are now being tofes for somebody else. Tfisa has to be done by the guy. You're not the guy. So you now are acting on behalf of somebody and at the same time damaging other people's positions who also are owned money by this guy. If he had wanted this dear friend, wanted to go ahead and be tofes the boat, he should have come here on his own. You are preventing other people from being tofes when it's none of your darn business. This is generally understood as in cases where the guy is doing it as a favor. Tosfos says, you see from here, that when Rashi says all over that you can't be tofes for a baal chov b'makom shechav l'acherim, that's where you're doing it because of zokin lo, that over here it's literally shlichut. Okay. And it appears that shlichut also doesn't work for tvisa because it's a personal thing. And we don't say it's literally the same person.
That's amazing.
Okay, but again, it's beyond our sugya. In any event, it turns, then it would be fine. That would have been fine. The problem is, of course, that it was Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bar Rav Yehoshua themselves who were owed the money. So anyway, pretty sneaky. So anyway, so this guy, of course, he gives up. I mean, the big rabbis say. So they go ahead and they're tofes it themselves. Now, each one of them was owed money separately. So Rav Papa, he figures the best thing to do is he's going to row this boat to show that it's his. So he gets inside and he's rowing the boat down the river. And Rav Huna Bar Rav Yehoshua, he attaches ropes to the boat.
He's pulling on it.
And he connects it to his car, in the back of his car, and he's pulling so that shows that he's actually making a mashiach on the boat. Each one is claiming that they're in a better position than the other guy. So Maromar Ana Kanina Lelakula. Maromar Ana Kanina Lelakula. I got the whole thing. Meanwhile, the Pinchas Barami meets them and says, now hold on a second, guys. This wasn't a kosher tvisa at all. Because Rav Shmuel, Amrit Avayev, Uch, Tzavur, and Menachem, Rishit HaRabim, and this boat, you undoubtedly picked it up in the dock. And the dock is like a simta, it's not a Rishit HaRabim. Therefore, the Yorishim were already inheritors. No, they said, no, we grabbed it right smack bang in the middle of the river. There it was, flying down the middle of the river. Of course, this other guy had already been tofes it, so we took it from him. But ananami micharifuta de nahara tafsino. That's how Rashi learns. Which others taina, it doesn't make any sense. Because the fact that the other guy had taken it from the dock would have invalidated his, and therefore theirs, and the Yorkshireman already got it. So therefore they learned that the guy had actually died while his boat was in transit in the middle of the river. And therefore they were only tofes it because it was the middle of the river. It's Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Yeah, not for Shabbos, but in these terms. Right? So and therefore, they learn that that's the case. Others explain that Jan Rashi is, I'm not Mechuyev in Tvisa to go analyze where it was it initially came from. Okay. So therefore, they said, we did have a good Tvisa. Also, the Kami, the Rabbis, they come to Rava to be Mavarer, which one of them was the better the better teifes, the guy with the oars or with the tow bar? Amalu kake chevre, listen to you white geese. Mishalke glimi the inches. White geese, because they were older people, so there's white hair. And he called them geese, because geese is a simon for chokhmah. So somebody sees a goose, that's how somebody sees a goose in a dream. It says in Brochus, yitzapel chokhmah. So it's a simon of old men that are involved in their, completely in their little cacklings of chokhmah. He says, but you guys don't know what the heck you're doing. A bunch of white geese, mishalke glimi the inches, what are you doing? Throwing off, because ripping off the clothing for people as they come down the street to collect from them.
We have white geese by the way, Amora was standing in front of the mikvah, a woman coming past, he said, appeared to me like white geese.
Well, on the shoulder. Horchi Omer Reb Nachman, v'hu shetafsa mechayim. Didn't Reb Nachman say that the only way that according to Rabbi Akiva that you could do tefisa, and we pass it like Rabbi Akiva, is if it was done mechayim, and you guys did it after, what are you talking about? You've been babbling. You argue with him. His tefisah is not good. There was no tefisah. It belonged to the Arishim. Chad v'chalak. So therefore, the whole thing was moot.
Mr. Boat.
An act of piracy averted. I thought there was